Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, speaking of sacred cows, one of those things we don't like to touch and talk about very often, especially in Christian media. You'll hear it every once in a while, and praise the Lord when you do. But the issue of sex and sex education and the price of sex outside of marriage and sex outside of wedlock, and especially amongst our younger population, our teenagers, and everything that goes along with that, not just pregnancy, which is the obvious one, but STDs, which there's dozens of those now. It's not like we're back in the 1950s and you go get a little penicillin. Life's not as simple as it was back then. And this is a major problem, a huge problem, epidemic, really, not just here in America, but around the world. And so if you're going to go down that road and have these conversations, there's one of the brightest names, one of the best names out there that's been speaking into this realm for 25 years is Pam Stenzel. And you can go to her website, Pam Stenzel, STENZEL.com. She's also the founder of Enlightenment Communications. That's Enlightened.com, which is a fabulous abstinence education provider with speakers and everything else that goes along with that. A fascinating and moving personal story on the life side. Also served as a crisis pregnancy director in Minnesota, and is hilarious and gifted, and God has really blessed her, and it's a blessing to welcome her to the show. Pam, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, this has been, you've been at this for a while. And let's kind of start there, because I really want people. I've heard you. I've heard a lot of. I've watched a lot of your videos. I've been familiar with you for years, but you really have an amazing story of God's grace, and involves other people, which really ties into our subject today. But I would love for you to share that with everybody to get started.
Yeah, well, you know, I got into speaking to students about sex, and mostly because of my heart for young women experiencing a crisis pregnancy, which came from my own beginnings. 53 years ago now, a young 15-year-old became pregnant, had a lot of difficult choices to make, maybe more than some teen girls because she was raped. But she chose to give her child life and then to place that child with an adoptive family, and that child was me. Mm-hmm. So my beginnings, I began as a child of rape. And I know, you know, I've heard all of this my whole life. I've listened to the, well, you know, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape, and it's like, wait a minute, I have value too, no matter what my beginnings were. And I believe that God had a plan for me. And maybe more importantly, I believe that my birth mother, who's my hero, had someone come alongside her. What she needed in that crisis wasn't to have her child ripped from her womb and killed. What she needed is someone to love her and bring hope and walk alongside her. So I'm just so grateful that she chose life for me, and she chose a family, which is amazing. I was placed for adoption in an amazing family. I'm the oldest of eight, seven of us adopted, every color of the rainbow in my family, and a godly family that raised me up to know Jesus. And so what a gift all that was. And I really believed that what I needed to give back was to go and reach out to young women who were facing a crisis pregnancy, no matter how that happened. And offer them help and hope. So I began that while I was a student at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago on a volunteer basis, and then really felt God calling me to that. So.
Did that start, I mean, what was kind of the genesis of that? I mean, whatever age you were when you really understood your origins and how you came to be and the circumstances of all of that, but were there some things or some kind of when the light bulbs went off for you, Pam, as a young girl, when you were like, hey, you know what? I think God wants me to go down this road.
Yeah, well, you know, I always knew I was adopted, and I didn't understand the full circumstances. My parents were amazing parents who told us all from the beginning, this is who you are, you know, and they told us what we knew. And now my parents at the time didn't know the full story. And I didn't find that out until our social worker divulged that she was getting ready to retire when I was in high school. So when I was in high school, I found out that my birth mother was raped and that she was in foster care at the time. And really the reality is, had I been born in 1975 instead of 1965, I would have probably been killed by the state. I mean, there's, you know, a 15-year-old foster child pregnant by rape. But, you know, in today's world, that just would have been a state issue. They would have probably forced abortion on her. But I think I struggled more theologically initially, and that's just kind of who I am and who I was as a teenager as well. Just struggling with those concepts of, did God plan me? Was I a mistake? Yeah. Did he decide to have a plan for me after the big horrible event? And really all of that, I've had to come and grasp and really grasp the best I can. And there are things I think theologically that we will never know until we see Jesus face to face. But here's what I believe, that my God is so awesome and so amazing that he is capable of taking your worst pain, whether it was something you chose or whether it was something that was done to you. And God can make something very beautiful come from that. That's beauty from ashes. That's the ability to redeem even some of the most horrible circumstances in our lives. And so I really believe that my life is a testimony to the grace of God and to redemption and his being able to put his hand in a very sinful world.
That's exactly
right. And that's the message of hope we should be giving as a gospel. You know, that is the gospel, the message of hope that even in the midst of pain and sin, that there's still hope for redemption.
Amen. So well said. And we'll get to later, because I want to talk to you about the difference when you're speaking to kind of a secular crowd when you're in a regular public high school versus when you're in more of a Christian arena. But I did want to ask you, I mean, you've been at this for a long time. Is it way worse today in 2019, Pam, than it was 10 years or 20 years ago? Could you imagine 20 years ago how bad this issue would be today in terms of not just out of wedlock pregnancy, but especially the STD side?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, there's good news and bad news, seemingly a lot of bad news a lot of times, but there are some good things happening now that I didn't see 20 years ago. But let me just say this, when I started working in the pregnancy clinics, really just to work with women in a crisis pregnancy, this was back in the 80s, right? You know, late 80s. And back then, we were just really concerned that a girl didn't get pregnant. It was like she'd come in for a pregnancy test, and it would be negative, and we'd be kind of like breathe a sigh of relief and let her out our door. And it's like, wait a minute, we are missing probably the worst of the consequence. And so I'd have girls come in, and their test is negative, they're ready to leave. I'm like, wait a minute, have you been tested for syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, chlamydia, trichomonas, vulvodynia, rhizitis, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HPV, HIV? You know, you've been tested for this?
And
these girls were incredulous. They had no idea.
What are you talking about?
The whole premise of what I've done for 25 years is to say to kids, I didn't show up to choose for you what you're going to do about sex. What I don't want you to tell me is you didn't know.
Right, that's right.
You didn't understand.
That's exactly right. Talking to Pam Stenzel, going to spend the whole hour together. Pam, I'm going to put you on hold right quick. PamStenzel.com, Enlightened Communications as well, Enlightened.com, an incredibly important topic. We'll be right back. Jesus is love. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Sex has a price tag. You may have heard of that video series. You might have heard Pam Stenzel, and you might have seen her videos, or perhaps if you're really fortunate, you or your children have encountered her. She speaks to just prolific speaker and author, and then behind Enlightened Communications as well, which produces just fabulous abstinence education. 500,000 students a year, not just across America, but around the world, and has been at it for over 25 years. We just praise the Lord for Pam Stenzel and how he's used her. And Pam, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So you were saying some good things and some bad things. So kind of take us into the state of the sexual world for teenagers in America circa 2019.
Yeah, well, last year the CDC released its latest STI infection rate, which was absolutely the worst we have ever seen in record. We had 22.5 million new infections with STIs in the U.S., and about 57% of those are people between the ages of 15 and 24. So the reality is, it is epidemic. It's absolutely epidemic on our university campuses, but certainly in our high schools as well. And there, it just doesn't seem to be slowing down. It just seems to be getting worse and worse. And I think because one of the things when you work with teenagers, because most of these STIs have no symptoms, students think they're fine because they don't feel sick. And the reality is they're living with these infections, never being tested, never telling anybody what's going on. And then the damage for some of these infections is pretty heavy, especially for our girls. One of the most common STIs among teenagers, high school students, is chlamydia, which is a bacteria. It's a curable infection. It's not a virus. If we found out a girl was infected, she could get treatment and be cured. The problem is, they're not being tested, again, because there are no symptoms, and they're letting this infection sit in their system for way too long. And what chlamydia will do is literally, in a female, it will scar her fallopian tube, scar the lining of her uterus, put her at risk of ectopic pregnancy and future infertility. And it's a really, really high risk. We've seen infertility rise among young women in the U.S. Close to 500%. And a lot of this is due, a lot of the increase is due to STI infections as teenagers. And it's just so sad that our young girls aren't being told the truth.
And the reality is, and you talk about this in your video series, Sex Has a Price Tag, unfortunately, because life isn't fair. I love how plain spoken you are. Life isn't fair, and it's way these things are way worse for girls than they are for guys, aren't they?
Yeah, in a pure physical world, it's far worse for females. And it's interesting, Steve, that lately, probably in the last year or so, when I do a public school presentation, in the faith context, I don't have any qualms at all about what I'm saying, but what's interesting, in the public school, I have always, for 20-some years, said, hey, guys, boys, girls, we're different. It kind of joking with them, like I didn't bring the PowerPoint. Yeah. Of course, you realize that's an obvious fact. And now I'm dealing with a generation of kids that look at you like, what?
Huh?
What do you mean we're different? Like, we have completely lost all sanity in our culture. And in this attempt to say boys can be girls and girls can be boys just by feeling that way, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it is so unsafe for our kids, because they need to understand the biological difference in both disease and treatment and cure.
Yeah, such an important point. So I think a lot of times in the Christian community, I don't know many people that are super naive, but there's plenty of them out there that are thinking, well, we raise our kids in the church and they go to Sunday school and then they go to youth group on Sunday night and they come back for Wednesday night supper and a Bible study and they go to summer camp and they do all these great things, kind of a gold star Christian life for a teenager. But are the STDs and the pregnancy, all the problems with an active sex life outside of marriage, is that prevalent inside the church as much as it is outside the church?
Yeah, sadly it is, and I would have thought, Steve, after 20-some years, we would have our eyes opened a little bit more. But I mean, back in the 90s, I'd go to a youth pastor and say, I'd much rather see your kids in youth group on Wednesday night than see them in my clinic on Thursday. And back then, the typical response from youth ministers were like, not our kids that go to church, they're
right,
all fine.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, here's my intake. When was the first day of your last period, and where did you go to church? Okay, so that's part of my intake.
Wow.
It's your kids. It's not those kids out there. And I think part of the problem is because I grew up in church, and thankfully I had a mom who worked in a pregnancy clinic, believe it or not, so I got probably more information back in the day than most. But the reality is the church handled the topic this way when I was going to church. I'd go to Sunday school, they said, God said don't do it, thank you for coming to class. You
know, right, I mean? Yeah, and just be obedient and everything will be fine.
Exactly right. And, you know, here's the reality. That should be enough.
Sure.
Truthfully, we should be able to say, God said, don't do it. End of discussion. There's just no questions asked. Don't do it. But the reality is we're human beings, and we're all going to ask the hard questions. And I think for some of us who grew up in the church, sometimes we saw God's laws or boundaries as just being mean or just, you know, just trying to wreck our fun, when the reality is God gave us a boundary for a reason. And I think there's a few things we miss when we're talking to kids about sex in the faith setting. Number one, that God's boundary is for your benefit.
Right,
Jesus
that's right.
came to bring you life and not pain and disease and sin and all of those things that come with that. Number two, you can't sin safely. It can't be done. The
what
wages
a great point.
Of sin is death, period. And then the other thing is that the gift of sexuality is something so amazing and so beautiful. And God designed, the way he physically designed our bodies, the way he designed our souls and our spirits would be that sexuality would be that thing that I gave to my husband. I gave to no one else. The one thing he gave to me, he gave to no one else. It would absolutely make this human relationship unique. And it's a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. He's called our bridegroom. We're his bride.
Right.
There's a reason for that. It's amazing intimacy that comes with, you know, loving someone freely, totally, faithfully, and in that fruitfully. But the problem is our culture has trashed sex. And it's become a commodity that's bought and sold. People are just diminished to body parts that we can oogle at on our smartphones and on our tablets and gaming consoles. And the reality is Satan has so destroyed sex that our kids can't even see the beauty for which God intended it to be.
Oh, yeah. It's just another commodity. It's just another thing on the menu of pleasures out there. You know, go see Endgame, catch a movie, go hang out with your friends, have sex, whatever. And it's lost all of that, the specialness that God created, who obviously created it in the first place. But I teach like 65 students on Thursdays, high school age homeschoolers. I teach them constitution and Christian ethics, stuff like that. And I talk to them about, hey, if I threw you the keys to my $300,000 Ferrari today and said, take it for a spin, would that be loving of me or unloving? And they start off by thinking, wow, you're the most awesome guy ever. And I go, well, okay, what could happen to you with the power of Ferrari, with how intoxicating it could be? What could happen? Well, I could run into a tree. I could hit somebody else. People could die. Who could die? I could die. They could die. Okay, now you're tracking with me. Sex is the Ferrari. And the only safe place to drive it is on a closed track, not an open track.
Right.
And then once they start to see that God did this for you in order to protect you and provide a better way of life for you, to avoid all the nightmares that are out there and to really enjoy the specialness of it that he created it to be, which can only exist at that level inside marriage. They just don't get it. They don't hear that message very much.
No, and you know, I used to explain it by this old game show that you have to get the game show and ask for it to see anymore. But you remember that, what was it? Let's Make a Deal. Like,
yep. Oh,
you
yeah.
can have what you can see right in front of you right now, or you can have what's behind curtain number three. Now, the deal is, if you take what's in front of you right now, if you take this Pinto that I'm giving to you, this used Pinto, that's what you will drive for the rest of your life. Or you can wait for what's behind curtain number three, which is probably a Ferrari.
Yeah. What a great example. We're talking to Pam Stenzel. I'm going to put you on hold, Pam. We're going to come back right after the break. What about education, abstinence education in America? We'll go there next. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And of course, everybody wants to talk about Donald Trump. They want to talk about Joe Biden. They want to talk about socialism and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Endgame and all this stuff. One of the topics that we don't talk about enough, whether it be in the public high school arena or in the Christian arena, on Christian media, anywhere, is sex education, abstinence education, and the realities of life outside of God's plan, which can hit everybody, all of us, regardless of age. Anytime we stray outside of God's plan, there's always wreckage and trouble and guilt and shame and real prices to be paid. I just shared on the Facebook Live page one of the great talks that Pam Stenzel does, Sex Has a Price Tag. Just fabulous. Down there on the level that the teenagers can definitely connect with. She's very funny, plain spoken, gets right down into the mess and right down into the facts. Just one of the most effective speakers in leaders on this particular subject, and we're just really blessed to have Pam with us today. Again, Pam, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's been great. Thanks.
So how would you describe the state of abstinence education in America today?
Well, I got to tell you, we lost the battle with the words of wars, or the war of words, as you would say. So whoever owns the language owns the topic, and that's true on many levels, whether we're talking about pro-life issues or otherwise. So what ended up happening, because I was around at the beginning, when George Bush administration decided to give some money to abstinence education, up to that point, people have to understand that millions of dollars had gone into comprehensive sex education or Planned Parenthood, you know, version of sex education, and no money had gone into any form of abstinence education. Well, the Bush administration gave us a tiny piece of the pie, like equivalent to about 20%. Yeah. Of the entire total money being spent. Well, Planned Parenthood freaked out and immediately said, well, they taught abstinence education, so they should get that 20% as well. And so in order to prevent that from happening and to have these monies go to true abstinence education, the Senate put forth what we called the A-8 standards that said, if for you to call yourself abstinence education, it has to meet these standards. And so it got termed politically abstinence only.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that killed us, because then anytime you go to the school board and you said you want your kids taught abstinence only.
Or
comprehensive, right? It made it sound like we were limited, and basically it gave us this thing like, well, you're just telling kids to say no and they don't have any other information. And that couldn't be further from the truth. So without getting into the political wire here or weeds, we had to rebrand it as sexual risk avoidance compared to sexual risk reduction. the problem is, in the 8 years of Obama, all of the money was stripped from anything that resembled abstinence education, sexual risk avoidance, or otherwise. And it was all completely given to the comprehensive people, which has been taken over by, really, the LGBTQ community.
Oh, yeah.
So now, when you look at what the public sector calls sex education, it has more to do with this LGBT equality, trans issues, than it has to do with sex education at all. It's lost any resemblance of what even the bad stuff once was. And so it's extremely frustrating. There's been some attempts to change that, and Trump has attempted, he put some great people at DHHS, but the problem is it's being met, like almost everything he's tried to do positively, with judges overturning it,
sure, yeah,
keeping the money in, locked up, and it's just been a nightmare for the last year.
Yeah, really sad to see that. And then, I would go further and say that a lot of the sex education in our public schools today, especially in areas where Planned Parenthood is involved, is really enablement. I've watched videos and seen things where they're like, okay, we know you're going to have sex, so we're going to teach you a few things here, and crazy stuff. Where you're sitting there go, what? This is happening in the public school system, and it is.
It's insane, and that's why parents have to fully understand what's being done in their system, and don't let them just throw labels at you. Look at the curriculum, and parents have to maintain the right to pull their kids out.
Yeah, that's right.
And because the reality is, they can tell you they're teaching one thing, and then your kid gets into the class, and it's a completely different thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you have to be all up inside that business.
Yeah, you need to know. And then the other thing is, here's what's so sad, Steve. Our Christian schools, our evangelical schools, Catholic schools, Lutheran schools, they have decided to go silent. And it's like, what in the world? I think we were like making headway and doing some good things with this topic as a faith community. And it just seems like the last 4 to 6 years we've gone silent. And it's like, you can't be silent in the face of this.
Yeah, go spend a day and a half, do Passport to Purity with your kids. And we've done all four of that. We've done that with all four of our kids. And that's a great foundation. Yeah. It's a great place to start in terms of purity. But it doesn't get into the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty and the brutality that's out there when you go down this road. So, well, all right, what age now? I had somebody on Facebook Live ask, because this is a moving target over the years and it's getting lower. What age should we be getting into this with our kids, the birds and the bees and all the other mess?
I have a DVD on my site at pamsonlook.com called Parents Matter. I would encourage you to get that. Here's two things I'm going to say. One, we should be teaching the value system our kids need from the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed at night until, all day long. That should be done from the time they're little. Teaching your kids to understand things like self-respect, delayed gratification, personal responsibility, empathy. These qualities help us then have the conversation about sexuality as they get older. But here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. The moving target is puberty.
Yeah.
You need to have this discussion prior to puberty, and that is not an age. And I used to tease parents. I'm like, prior to puberty, your kids like you for the most part. Right? Puberty happens, and the eyes are going to roll, and I can't believe we're talking about this. So we need to lay the foundation of this being an okay topic in our home for us to bring up and talk about. It's not a sacred cow in our home. We will talk about this, and that needs to be laid prior to puberty.
Yeah, what a great point. We're talking to Pam Stenzel, pamstenzel.com, but these videos and books, all the resources that Pam has been able to produce, and God's just really gifted her, enlighten.com, Enlighten Communications is really where you find a lot of the abstinence education information here and all the different tools that we can use as parents and organizations and churches and schools. So that's enlighten.com, and then Pam's personal site, which also has a lot of things.
Pam Stenzel.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you for that. Now what are you telling teenagers? So you get in front of them, and whether it's a secular crowd or a Christian crowd, I want to get into some of the content because it's so important because you deal with it head on and in the way that they need to hear it. But what do you talk about when you have a captive audience like that?
Well, I start both similarly. The first thing I say to kids is, I didn't show up at your school, at your church, or at this event to decide for you what you're going to do about sex. You're going to basically do whatever you want. I'm not the sex police. I'm not going on your dates with you. I don't have time. What I don't want you to have to say is, I didn't understand. I didn't know. Today you're going to be told, and then you make the decision. And I separate the consequences of sex outside of marriage. in physical, and then the emotional, and then when I'm in a faith setting, we can talk about the spiritual.
Yeah.
So the physical we already talked about with the STD infection, and obviously pregnancy, and all of the consequences that come physically. One of the things that we didn't dive into as heavily, which I think we need to talk about, is the emotional. And part of that is trying to understand that sexual integrity or the lack thereof will be practiced or not for the rest of your life. So somewhere my generation thought that we could just sleep around, it was no big deal, could have zero boundaries, and that someday we would say some magic words and put on white dresses.
Yeah,
and
we'll grow up and we'll put away childish things. Right, no problem, no big deal.
It didn't work. And so what we have is this horrendous infidelity problem, the divorce rate crazy. And it's because if you don't maintain or you don't develop sexual integrity at some point, it's not typically going to be developed in marriage. And so it's just so important to talk about what it means to have discipline, what it means to have the ability to, even though everything in you is saying say yes, to say no. Because there might be a time, even after your marriage, where that temptation comes really strong. And you have to be able to have the integrity to say, no matter what I feel like, this isn't the right thing to do.
Yeah, because we're not even talking about the wreckage that's going on in our own personal lives and inside the church, inside marriage for adults. And my wife and I were married in our late 20s. We weren't saved, and you know we were not pure when we got married, and all that garbage you drag with you. Most people will unfortunately have that same history, and it's not something you think you're going to get married and everything goes away. So we're not even really addressing that today. We're talking about our teenagers, but how do the teenagers react to this? Like, I think a lot of people assume all the millennials, Gen Zs, are not going to listen. But are they? Are they listening, Pam?
No, they do react. And, you know, I had a girl write me, she sent me a message, and she said, I sat through your talk. It was a public school. And she said, I didn't even care about all of the diseases you talked about in pregnancy. It didn't matter to me. I had decided already I was going to never get married. Men were pigs. And she began to kind of throw that out. Yeah. Well, then she told me that her dad had cheated on her mom, obviously. She knew dad left her mom. And so she's living with mom who's hurt and living with the, you know, that. And so because of what her dad has done to her mom, she decided all men were pigs and she was never going to get married and none could be trusted and they would all cheat. Right. And then she said, you changed my mind when you started talking about the fact that if you had integrity before you got married, there's a chance could have that integrity after.
Yeah. What
and
a powerful.
For just a minute, there was hope.
Yeah, what a powerful point. We're talking to Pam Stenzel. Pam, I'm going to put you on hold one last time. Pam Stenzel, pamstenzel.com or enlightencom.com. That's Enlighten Communications, enlightencom.com. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about a subject that we should all be talking about more often inside the church, outside the church, and when we have opportunities like Pam Stenzel does to have that conversation in a secular environment. High schools, public high schools especially, that's where the vast majority of our young people are in the country. They have been for years. They will continue. That'll continue to be the truth for a long time. We need to get in there. And even though you can't walk into a public high school and share the gospel in most cases, you can go in there and value the fact that every one of those boys and girls, young men and women, are made in the image of God. And God's common grace should drive us in there, and our love for our neighbor should drive us in there in order to tell them the truth. And it's buried in their DNA. They know who their creator is. I don't believe, but based on Romans chapter 1, there's no such thing as atheists out there. An atheist at best is an agnostic that just has an attitude problem, but they don't exist. God is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and everybody knows it. So when you talk about, and the beautiful thing about God's truth on this particular subject, sex, is that it always works its way out into reality, because God's truth is reality. Do it his way, you'll be okay. Don't do it his way, you're going to have problems. And that's the deal. That's why we appreciate being able to spend the whole show today with Pam Stenzel. And again, her website, pamstenzel.com, and then Enlighten Communications, enlightencom.com, where you can find books and DVDs, all the great resources that Pam has been able to produce over the years to help us with this subject. Again, Pam, thank you so much for being here today. It's just been an awesome conversation.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I so appreciate you having me.
You're very welcome. And let me ask you kind of a Christian media in general. Do people kind of shy away from it in Christian media? Like they're like, oh, no, I don't know that we want to talk about this. It's a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
You heard it earlier. You referenced the whole sacred cow thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's part of the problem, and you really hit it on the head with your show, that people are afraid if we say, hey, this is the way it should be done, this is God's design, that we will make people who don't follow that design feel bad, and then we're intolerant and we're phobic on every level. And it, that's always bothered me, because we used to have amazing grace in the church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. And now, you know, we don't have amazing grace. We have mediocre grace, how bland the sound that slightly, you know, corrected it slightly.
That's right.
You know, I didn't see very well. I got contacts. I mean, it's just insane. And so we're so afraid to say this is God's design and this is his plan, because we're afraid people will be offended. And so we need to speak the truth, but of course do it in love. But here's some good news for you. 57% of high school students, and this is the last study I have from the CDC, is 2016, but 57% of high school seniors were still virgins, were not sexually active. So the reality is the majority of our high school, and certainly our middle school students, are not having sex. And I think sometimes they get this message that everybody's doing it and that they are like the only one who's choosing not to, and that's not true. And we need to encourage them. But the bad news, the flip side of that coin, is we've got a lot of kids who aren't having sex, and most of them are doing it because they've made a commitment, not because it just hasn't happened yet or nobody asked. But the other group who is sexually active are extremely sexually active with multiple partners. It does not look like it looked like when I was in high school and back in the day when, hey, we made it, maybe some of my peers made a mistake, but they made it with somebody they've been dating for years.
Right.
And then a lot of them ended up marrying that person.
Right, right.
Doesn't make it any better, but it's just a different scenario. So parents have to be aware that either your child is going to make a firm commitment to save sex for marriage and take that on as a value, or they're going to get caught up in a world where sex is literally just a game.
So somebody on Facebook Live, this is a great question about, you know, obviously you're talking to a mixed audience. Is it appropriate, effective? What works better, to have the guys and the girls together in the same room at the same time when it's going to be, you know, I have a penchant for awkwardness. I actually prefer that. But
yeah.
What's most effective? Do you have an opportunity to split them up? How should we kind of approach that?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I like, because I deal mostly with high school students and eighth grade, I don't go much under that. That I like them together. At this point, they need to hear. The boys need to hear the damage that's going on to the girls. The girls need to hear the reality of what's going on for that. I mean, I think they need to hear it together. And I think at the last part, they need to know that both have heard it. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, yeah.
Plus, I like you like the awkwardness when a couple comes into a gym and they're sitting in the bleachers and they're all snuggling and all cozy. And about 15 minutes into my talk, separation is taking place. It's pretty awesome. So, I like that. Now, that said, I have done just girls and just guys. It becomes a little awkward sometimes when I do just boys because,
sure,
you know, the look on their face like someone is going to talk to us about sex. But obviously with just girls, there's an openness that I can have and really look at them and try and say specific things to them. I do have a DVD that we filmed for just girls, part of our Girls Gone Right conference we used to do. Is called Take a Look in the Mirror, and it really addresses for our girls what it means to be a woman of God. One of the things I tell kids all the time is opposites might attract when it comes to personality, never when it comes to character. You're going to get what you are. If you want a man of God, you have to be a woman of God, not act like one, be one.
Yeah, there's a phrase that I heard years ago that I'll add to that one because that's so good. The bait determines the catch.
Yes,
that's
absolutely,
the deal.
100%.
You want to, I really want to end up with a godly man. Okay, well, does a godly man want to end up with you or vice versa?
Exactly right. Why would that guy date you? Which is what I asked the girls, you know? And so the reality is character building is so important. And and I take the video, Take a Look in the Mirror, comes from James chapter 1, that if we're a hearer of the word and not a doer, we're like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, walks away and forgets who he is. And so the need to have the word of God define us and mold us into who he's called us to be.
That's awesome. So and somebody else on Facebook Live was like, hey, what about preparing our kids for going into a public high school? Like, we've been a homeschool family for 16 years. We have four kids. Our youngest is a daughter. She's 14. The first time in 16 years, we're going to have any of our kids. It'll be the first time. that any of them have gone to a public school at all. She's going to a public high school. So you're talking to homeschoolers, people that have maybe not, we get nervous about the high school world. Obviously, that's a much bigger cesspool than your average middle school, although not completely. But how do we prepare our sons and daughters for going into that high school realm on this particular subject?
Well, I think you need to know your kids. I'm one of eight, and I went to public school at high school, but a lot of my siblings went on to Christian school and you know, vice versa, depending. Know whether your kid is capable of it. Don't force your kid to be a missionary if they're not, if they don't have that heart and that strength. But I will tell you this, that one of the things my parents taught, just drilled into me that was so important, is they said, if you are going to walk in this world, you will be an alien. Don't let that shock you. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be different. And that needs to be okay. And so, you know, preparing our kids for the assault that's going to come in that setting is really important. And then really encouraging them to find a place, if not just within your home, but hopefully if they have a church body, or make sure that your kids have some friends that hold their values.
Yeah, I mean, that's that inner circle.
Of them.
That's right.
Yeah, but at least two or three.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to do that alone.
You're going to be the average of your closest friends. So you got to make sure your inner circle knows the Lord and is trying to walk with the Lord. And that's such an important point that, and somebody else made this, Josephine on Facebook Live also made this point that, you know, they have to know that there's more to life than sex. There's more to teenage years than sex. Yeah. And if you can walk into that school, that public high school, as a young man or a young woman, as an ambassador of Christ, and you're a joy-filled person, you're kind, you're loving, you do well, you do your best in whatever you're at, and you're living an abstinent life, they go, oh, so you can be happy and have fun and enjoy your high school years without jumping in the sack. As a matter of fact, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. In this world that preaches tolerance and being okay with everybody and what, you know, you just need to shoot that back at them. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And you need to accept that. And you know, so, but yeah, living that testimony is huge. You know, being Jesus, you know, the old saying that sometimes people need a sermon and occasionally you need to use words.
Right, of course. Oh, yeah.
So
you
got to
live that out.
Absolutely.
So should we be more paranoid or should we be more hopeful? What should be our attitude? We got about a minute and a half.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. The public school is not going to teach your kids the right thing. So just go into that knowing that. But parents, you are the most important teacher. And here's the other thing. Studies have shown forever that the most important voice in a teenage young person's life is their parents. It's not their peers. It's not the media. It's not the school. It is 100% the parents. So parents, do your job. Let them roll their eyes. I've told you a million times, that's paycheck to me. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I want you to hear my voice until you're sick of it. So we are the most important voice, and we need to be that for our kids.
And because you have a lot of great resources, Pam, what should people start with? They're going to say, okay, I need to start really engaging this subject with my kids and then around adolescence and then puberty and all that. Where should I start? What do you tell them and where do they go?
My stuff is best for, you know, 13 and above for the students. And I do have parents' resources as well. But the latest version of Sex as a Price Tag, which was the name of my talk forever and amen, but we had to rename it. It's called The High Cost of Free Love. So when you go to PamSenzel.com, you'll see that. It's called The High Cost of Free Love. It does have a public school version and a faith-based version, so use what you need. And then I would really encourage parents to pick up that Parents Matter DVD and you know, take that information in yourself as parents and share that with the parents in your world. But The High Cost of Free Love is my talk to teens that's the most current.
And with Enlighten, you have other people besides yourself that are out there speaking and doing this training as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have people out there. If you know, you want to bring someone live to your church or your community and get all the students together, take a look into that. It's powerful.
That's awesome. Pam Stenzel, God bless you, sister. Thank you for your years of obedience and faith and boldness and good humor and for your family and everything you're doing for the kingdom and in this world. God bless you. I really appreciate you spending time
God
with
bless.
Us today.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll talk again as soon as possible. That was Pam Stenzel. Pam Stenzel, STENZEL.com or EnlightenCom.com, The High Cost of Free Love, and her DVD for parents. Because like it said, the reports always show this. The polls always show this. Believe it or not, And I know sometimes it's hard to believe. As parents, we still are the number one voices in our children's lives, and we really need to lean into that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God bless you guys, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.